Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is TV worth talking about.
We're all suspects.
Yes, of course we are. This is Shrine Podcasts Vigil.
Hello and welcome to Shrine Podcast Presents Vigil. I'm Brendan.
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Rebecca.
Well, well, well. Derek proved indeed he is the ultimate dick. We were treated to a Line of Duty style interview complete with a glass box and a beep, although not that long. Some killer karate moves from Silva. A very camp hello everyone from Du Grey. And I learned that Wes's surname is Harper, not Anderson. Hannah has your thoughts and theories in a bit. Reb has the Vigil Season 2 finale recap. But first, our final catch-up of 2023. Hannah, any update on the mystery of the clamped car?
Guys, very disappointingly, I've been taken down with the plague, so I haven't left the house. But
oh no,
it gives me great opportunity to tee up that we are coming back very, very soon with a new series, which we're going to talk about at the end of this. You have to tune in till the end. And at the beginning of that new series, I will tell you an update on the clamped car when I'm capable of leaving the house again.
I love that, a clickbaited mystery, yeah.
Well, we come with our own mystery this morning, Hannah.
What?
Yeah.
So Rebecca and myself, we do a radio show every morning. First thing in the morning, we come into work this morning. So there's three floors. There's kind of radio stations spread across three floors. There has been a Christmas tree on each of the three floors for the last month, roughly.
Yeah.
Well, we walk into work this morning. We're both in sync. We both go for a wee at the exact same time as each other every morning.
I know, but that's because we only have two songs
in
a row.
We've 90 seconds.
Yeah, we just never get a chance
that's
to go.
That's lovely, guys.
So anyway, we were trotting off in unison for our first wee of the morning and I spin our heads to the right and we were like, where the fuck is the Christmas tree gone?
Now, can I hands up just say one thing? I actually wouldn't have noticed and didn't notice. Brendan said, where's the Christmas tree gone?
I was like, where's the Christmas tree gone?
And then I turned around horrified and said, where is the Christmas tree gone?
And so there's other people who sit right on the floor where said Christmas tree has vanished from. And they were like, we don't know. And one of the other Christmas trees on the other floor, it was moved into a different studio because they were filming something. But that one's been returned to its rightful place.
Yeah.
So this one is nowhere to be seen. It's fully gone.
And like, guys, if I'm right in remembering from my time in that office with you, it's a quite a big real tree.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a real tree.
Yeah, you're all real, yeah.
Full of lights, lovely decorations. This tree, and you'll be interested in this, Hannah, this tree had disco ball baubles on it.
I am interested in this. It's the mystery of the missing disco tree. But come here, was there like a little trail of pines anywhere? Because if it's up a couple of weeks now, surely, do you know what I mean? There'd be evidence.
It had been hoovered. Evidence has been ruined and destroyed by someone who just wanted to give the place a good scrub.
It was like Wes with the hard drives.
Guys, did someone come in the night and take that and fuck it up in their own sitting room because they're like, Jesus, I'm so unorganized.
We're all feeling the cost of living crisis, but Jesus now.
Robbing a tree out of your office.
Yes, yeah. Don't know. We might tell you in January if we find out where it went.
There's another tease.
I do actually really want to know what happened to that, so try and find out and text me.
Yeah. I'm about to send out an all-staffer, do you know what I mean?
Okay, in a couple of minutes, Hannah's going to have your thoughts and theories on the Series 2 finale of Vigil. But up first, Reb, your recap, take it away, bitch.
Right, guys, just full disclosure for a moment. But I had this absolute horrifying realisation in the middle of doing this recap when I discovered internally that I have mixed up two characters in the show. For the last couple of episodes, I thought it was the same man.
This is Hannah's hen all over again.
So, guys, I thought that Derek the drone man and the fella from MI5, who I think's name is Ian.
Ramsay.
No. Ramsay's boss.
Oh, Ramsay's
boss. I thought Ramsay's boss, who I'm going to call Ian for the real, like the name. I thought that Ian and Derek were the same person.
Okay.
For this whole series.
Right.
I nearly fell off my chair in my little office room yesterday when I was writing this and realised. So I have to go back this morning and try and rectify. So I don't know if this is factually accurate, but I'll try my best.
That's fine. Let's go for it. It's Christmas.
I would love now if someone's listening to this podcast and they realise too that they thought it was the same person.
It's the same man.
Just me? Does anyone think they look alike?
Not particularly.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. The finale of Vigil Season 2 opens on the plane. Wes is dead. Eliza, shot in the leg. She says Wes jumped her and tried to grab her service weapon. Meanwhile, Kirsten gets a call from hospital prisoner escapee Ross, aka the man who shot Chapman, the man who jumped in the lake, and the man who then later hid in a wardrobe. You know the fella. Mm-hmm. He's on a motorbike. He's in the middle of the countryside. He says that he's a good man, but he wants to find out the truth his way. She says that she will come to him on her own with everything she's got. I was like, Kirsten, please, hon, not again. You're going to meet someone on your own with no backup, heavily pregnant. Back on the plane, Silva takes Eliza's statement. She claims Wes knocked on the cockpit door. She went to investigate. He went for her service weapon. It discharged. The bullet went into her leg. She managed to get control of the weapon, but he tried to come back at her. So she fired a single shot, right? That's her voice note statement. Mm. Kirsten then meets Ross in the country. Stunning views. Shows him footage of the drone attack at Dundare. They claim that that was all hacked by terrorists, but it does miss the top dogs on purpose. Kirsten says it isn't terrorism. It's an excuse to send troops in and sell more weapons. Parliament vote on it tomorrow. Ross says, listen, I trust my guy, but if he's lied to me, I will kill him and then I'll hand myself in. On the plane, back on the plane, Silva shows Russell the picture of the fake paramedic fella that planted the drone in the compound that they were held in, that Silva later shot dead in the office block. You with me?
Yeah.
Your man. Eliza says she doesn't recognize him, right? Silva says she still can't figure out who sent Sabi those messages to manipulate her because they know now that it wasn't Sam Kader. Eliza appears to get caught out here now. I was like, pass the popcorn, biatch. She brings up how half the squadron knew about Sabi's mum, about how her mum was dead. But Silva was like, hang on, pet. I don't remember ever telling you that. But like, Eliza's like, no.
She wriggles out of it fairly lively.
She does, but you know what? There's a bad smell. So it's not sitting
right. Have you stood in something, love?
It's not sitting right for Silva. And Silva on the DL tells DS Townsend, she's like, pet, keep an eye on her now when she goes to the hospital. Keep it discreet, though. Granger, raging, arrives, right? And he's like, I need this aircraft back. It's in use tomorrow. And Silva's like, it's a crime scene. And Granger's like, no, pet, we need it. And Silva's like, you're going to war, aren't you? And Granger's like, that's none of your business. Sorry, we're so giddy. This is always going to happen, wasn't it?
Always.
Always. Okay. Right, DSU Robertson. Now, guys, for the whole episode, I was looking at DSU Robertson. I was like, is that nice fella now who we all haven't suspected is a him? But anyway, he calls the head of MI5, who I now realise
is
a different man. Because I was like, is that not Derek anyway?
It was a huge finale for Rev, now I have to say.
The biggest reveal of the finale was that these two men are two men. I actually can't tell you the moment, you know, the dramatic hamster on YouTube, the moment that I had to myself when I realised that I'd got it all wrong.
But guys, it is like, poor, like, I would pay money to have footage of you realising that moment in Liverpool when that man wasn't the same person and all he did was go through a double door and come back through it with a hat on, and Rebecca was
on.
Just completely.
Guys, for context, tell everyone what happened. If you haven't listened to this podcast before, we actually did a whole episode on Hannah's Hen.
Yeah. So we did, as part of Hannah's incredible head in Liverpool, we went to a hotel function room and did a murder mystery.
Holiday Inn.
It was the Holiday Inn, was it? Yeah. We did a murder mystery and we were really drunk, all of us were.
We had been in Coyote Ugly since
11 a.m. Like, yeah, we'd been to Wetherspoons for breakfast, Coyote Ugly for the afternoon. Then we played Mr. and Mrs. Everyone was doing shots. Then we went to the Holiday Inn. By the way, to get to the Holiday Inn, which was 4 minutes away, we were so drunk, it took us half an hour because we just kept going the wrong direction. Anyway, we were sat in this murder mystery room, and this murder mystery was about basically a one-man show. But the one man kept going out of the room, putting a hat or a high-vis on, coming back in. And it took Reb about 4 costume changes to go, hold on a minute, that's one man. It was.
She's there with like the pen, her police hat, and she's like, hang on a second, that's the same man, as if she cracked him. We're like, no, Rebecca, the one-man show.
Oh my God. Okay, so Robertson calls the head of MI5, who's called Ian, we think, and basically he's like, come here now. The crew that rescued Silva and Russell from the compound, what was the story with them? Because a man from that crew tried to kill Silva the same day or a day later, you know? And then Ian turns to Ramsay and says, this is going in the wrong direction. Elsewhere, Longacre has followed Ross on the motorbike, and she sees that he is chatting to this mystery man on a beach, right? She crouches down, hides behind rocks, and tries to take a photo of the person Ross is meeting. The man is Derek, aka Drone Man, aka the head of Alban X. Ross trusted the wrong biatch. Derek shoots him in the head, kills him before spotting Longacre watching on because she had let out a huge shriek. Longacre drops her phone on the rocks and she runs. Derek keeps shooting at her and chasing her. She gets to her car, desperately speeds off. But as she is speeding away, he keeps shooting and he ends up hitting her. It's in the shoulder, isn't it?
Yeah, the blood splatter on the window. I was like, where did that come from? Yeah,
it like went through
the back window and like off the side of her shoulder.
Like, what was she thinking? I'm not being bad, but like, come on. It's so dangerous. And
so
you have to be responsible. Like, she didn't even have backup. Nobody knew she was there. She nearly died in the road on her own.
So was I. But when we were watching this, right, we see her driving for a while, but then she passes out at the wheel. And I was like, oh my God. Because at the meantime, Silva's ringing her, telling her how much she loves her and that she's landed and blah, blah, blah. But we do see in that scene that police cars are speeding towards Longacre's car. So you do kind of, I was like, ah, no, she'll be grand now.
Yeah.
And I know loads of people are like, how did they find her? Do you know? We'll discuss that later. Okay. As I said, Silva's been ringing her and she's like, listen, you know, I'm trying to get through to you. But feckin' Longacre's phone's on the rocks.
Oh, where she dropped it.
Yeah, it was left there. But like, surely they can track a phone. Like, surely it's fine. My brain is still
with driving to the phone.
Yeah. Do you think she left that there on purpose because she knew that if she was killed or something, then the evidence of the picture, he'd be caught regardless? Because if he did kill her, he'd try find her phone.
Maybe. She is very clever.
Yeah, I'd like to think that, but I thought she just forgot it.
Yeah, God. Okay, back on the grounded plane, detectives figure out that basically the first shot that was fired actually is the one that killed Harper, and the second one was self-inflicted. So basically Eliza killed Harper and then shot herself in the leg. Silva's like, arrest that woman for murder. I need an armed guard, yada, yada. We then get a very juicy Line of Duty style ambush scene showing a speeding car swooping in front of the ambulance on the way to the hospital that Eliza is in. Two men open the doors and they're like, you're coming with us.
It was very Line of Duty vibes. Slightly less dramatic, but it was an ambush.
Silva then gets a call about Longacre being shot, rushes to hospital to be by her side, very emotional. After a few hours, Kirsten thankfully wakes up. She's lost a lot of blood. Silva is like, listen, you're okay, the baby's okay. Silva's like, who did this to you? Longacre reveals it was McCabe, aka Derek the Dick, Drone Man, and that he also shot Ross Sutherland. Silva tells Robertson, who tells his... Hold on. That doesn't make any sense. Silva tells Robertson, who tells the officers... Okay. Silva tells people. Silva tells people what happened.
And they're like, listen,
alert Interpol, because... Derek the Drone Man is the
has attached himself to the drone to skip the country.
The next morning, Silvaker wake up in hospital. Longacre shows Silva that the share price of Albanex's, you know, all their share, gone up 21% since the government announced a vote on joining Woody Ann's war. And she's like, listen, I don't want to be bringing our baby boy into a world knowing that these fuckers are running it. So Silva had kind of said before that she was going to just, you know, step away from the investigation. But then she agrees that she's going to keep on going. We then find out that Derek McCabe has actually legged it in a drone. A bit of a Houdini, in the words of Dua Lipa. He chartered a private plane and then he disabled the transponder so no one could find him.
What a prick.
What a prick. Eliza, meanwhile, has been taken. She's been taken as well. So they all know that now. They're like, right, Eliza's gone and so is Derek. So it's now becoming very obvious that Eliza and McCabe are working with intelligence services. Dundare was a false flag to build a case of escalation and they're going to war. Granger admitted it. And Robertson is like, Silva, you need some proof. So what does Silva go and do? Tries to get some, trots over to Ramsay, takes Amy's, Kirsten's watch, and I think she plants it on him to track him.
Ah.
That's how she finds that building.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Silva then meets Savvy in a mental health hospital and she's like, how did Ross Sutherland find you and your dad at that cottage? And eventually Savvy, am I pronouncing her name right?
Yeah, Savvy.
She is like, oh, my dad actually was using an iPad. Mm. So Silva alerts her other officers and she's like, find that iPad because Ross must have hidden it after he killed Chapman. Silva, in a stunning pantsuit, using the location data from Kirsten's smartwatch, I think, heads to the building that Eliza is being held in.
Yeah.
Because one of the fellas from the ambush opens the door. Shablam! Splam! Silva cuffs that man to the ground, forces her way in, and she's like, I am arresting Eliza for murder. Ramsay, meanwhile, is there. Of course he is, because he's the person that was being tracked.
Yes.
Because I was like, what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
Ramsay's there, right, trying to question. Then, this is, guys, do you know when you wanted to know the moment when I realised that they weren't the same person?
Okay.
This is the moment.
Oh, 70% into the episode.
Sir Ian, question mark. We don't know his name. Head MI5 interrupts and he's like, hi. And that's when I was like, well, you can't be the drone man because he's chartered a private plane.
Was this guy also in season one of Vigil? Is he like really high up in the police?
Rebecca couldn't tell you if he was in this episode.
The shaved, grey haired fella.
I don't think I'm the best person to ask.
Fair. Moving swiftly on.
Okay. Silva is like, the government seemed to have decided to go to war. Good tubbin, suddenly Osgailga. Marcus Granger's in and he's like, oh, trying to play the good cop here. He's like, Silva, you're right, darling. Eliza is lying about Wes on the plane.
Is this when he bursts into the office and he's like, hello, everyone? Yeah. It's just really camp.
It is.
It's just like panto style.
He went great in this episode. I also loved his really dramatic monologue to his team as well. He was really enjoying his moment.
Yeah.
Spotlight.
Very much so. So anyway, Marcus is like, Silva's right now. Eliza's lying. She did it for Derek McCabe. Enter Eliza into the room. And Granger is like, oh, where's McCabe? You know, he's wanted for murder. And then Eliza is like, I don't know anything. This is bullshit. Before she's brought away by Silva. That's an important scene.
It is.
Very, right? Silva then sits down for a glass box spectacular with Eliza, during which Silva whips out messages found on the now located iPad that Savvy told us about.
Yeah.
The police have found that at the cottage and that was the iPad that her dad had been using in the woods. Here's what happened, okay? Anthony flagged concerns about one of the Orpaz consoles in Woody Ann going missing. Silva is like, Eliza, you actually replied to him saying that you'd check that out, but you never did. Instead, she had Chapman killed because if he had known what happened at Dundare, he would have been like, Eliza, I told you about that. So she would have been found out. So she had to kill Chapman because he would have been onto her, right? Silva is like, why did you kill so many people in Dundare? You know, you obviously needed us to investigate something. You wanted us to find Faraz the man and the messages on Sabi's phone, everything that led them to Jabhat al-Hariya. But they would have investigated just one death. Do you know that way? So eventually, after being shown photos of the victim, Eliza cracks and she shouts that she knows that all those people mattered, but it had to look real. Anything else and it would have been swept under the carpet and been called an accident. It had to be something they couldn't ignore. Eliza eventually as well admits that she did pilot the ore pass in Dundare. She had hidden the console when she transferred it to Granger. She transferred it over to him basically when Granger was piloting it. I think she hacked in.
Okay.
Then. So she kind of, that's explained there. She also says that she's the one who was messaging Sabi, and she hired Ross Sutherland and also killed Wes. And basically Wes had worked it all out. So she was like, Wes was blackmailing us, so I had to get rid of him.
Okay.
Silva's like, right. I can understand why Derek Dick Drone Man benefited, but Eliza, pet, why would you do this? And Eliza says it's for the money. She claims it is, but Silva's not convinced. And then Eliza's like, I'm done with the interview. We get the line of duty style beep. And after the recording is done, Eliza tells Silva, the one conversation that she's never going to have is the one where our intelligence service and their counterparts in Woodian sit down and tell her how it works. So for the record, sure, I did it for the money. Why not? Eliza says that she will be out in a few years and she tells Silva that they are much smarter than she is and they matter more than her.
Okay. So she did it because she was told she had to. I don't know.
What would have been believable here is that if her and maybe Marcus, I mean, spoiler alert, if they had been in like a relationship or something.
Yeah.
He kind of says she's a good soldier. He told her to do it. Okay.
Yeah.
She must believe his beliefs as well to a degree. You wouldn't go through and kill your own.
She does, yeah. Because I think they made a point of a couple of times of her having very different viewpoints of situations than Amy did. Like, remember in the last episode where Amy was like, yeah, okay, he was a child and he had a gun, but like he didn't know how to use it, where she was like, the enemy was pointing a gun. Do you know what I mean? So I think she does share his viewpoint.
The same belief.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
So Ramsay visits Longacre in hospital, and honestly, guys, at this moment, I was like, right, she's made it to here, but they're going to kill her off now. Mm. Like, Ramsay is evil in X, Y, and Z. But actually, they kind of say to each other that they both were not telling each other the whole story with things, and she does trust him. So, yeah. And he's like, right, I'll make it right.
Yeah.
So we kind of realize in that scene, it's short enough, but it's basically like Ramsay's not... He's
not
like,
bad.
I couldn't tell you, but he's not bad.
Yeah.
I really did think he was.
So did I.
Really did. So Ramsay's like, I'm going to make things right. Silva tells Longacre that she has Eliza's full confession, but Longacre is like, hang on a second. Ross always talked about a good man he trusted. He never, ever mentioned a woman. It doesn't sound like it was Derek McCabe. You know, that's not the man that he trusted.
Yeah.
It has to be someone else. Ramsay and Silva then join forces. I was loving this.
Yeah.
Loving it. I'd watch another season of the two of them. So he's like, here, pet, I have your watch tracker. You know, he's a good detective too. And he's like, I know I'm risking my job, but the contractor fella that you shot, his name was Portsmore or whatever. They decide to work together. They want to find out who the other man is that Eliza is covering for. She asks Ramsay if he told Eliza that McCabe was wanted for murder. He's like, no, I never told Eliza that. So Silva then realizes that it was Granger in that short conversation when he came in. Granger arrived to be like to Eliza, Derek is, you know...
Yeah, he's like,
protect
hello,
Derek,
hello, everyone.
And say nothing, you know, protect me, be a good soldier, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so we know now in this moment that it is Dougray, and I think Dougray is good at playing a villain, so some people did call this from the very beginning that Dougray would be involved. Silva is like, right, we need to find out how Granger and Sutherland are connected, and then they need to, you know, contact Sutherland's ex-girlfriend who they spoke to at the start. They need to work under unofficial channels because, you know, people will be alerted straight away, and they basically just need to find out, you know, if Granger knew that Jabhat al-Haria were gathering evidence against Alban X, and, you know, she's like, right, Parliament are voting tomorrow, let's get cracking. Ramsay then heads to MI5 pretending to have a police warrant, tries to get all the files on Dundare along with the Air Force emails. Robertson rings Silva and says, I have arrest warrants, like, or orders to arrest you and Ramsay because you've basically gone rogue. And Silva is like, listen, they can't afford this to get out there. They're going to bury it all, and she's not letting it happen. She understands the cost, and she's like, I'm doing it anyway. And I love Robertson's like, pet, turn off your phone from now. Granger at the Air Force base, as Hannah mentioned earlier, briefs his soldiers in a speech that he's thoroughly enjoying. He's like, Dundare, it was terrorists. They had an aim that was to shatter the partnership between our two countries, yada, yada. Silva speeds in, tries to shut that shit down. She lets him finish and she's about to arrest the air marshal for murder. But then, sure, your man, fake Derek, Sir Ian, question mark, is like, come talk in private mm-hmm. over here. So now it's Silva, Ian, question mark, and Granger in a room together. Silva reveals that she knows Granger worked with Russell and McCabe and conspired to push Britain into conflict. And they selected Jabhat al-Haria as the fall guy. He knew they weren't terrorists, but what they were doing was actually collecting evidence against Alban X. The attack at Dundare gave them reason of escalation. Granger was the one who spotted the tree man trespassing after he made sure that he'd be there because he exploited the information intelligence had given him about the prescriptions to get him to Dundare. Silva then shows Granger a photo of Ross Sutherland and she's like, listen, Ross's ex says that you know Ross and you manipulated him into killing Anthony Chapman. And then when Ross became a problem, Derek killed him. Ramsay enters the room then, obsessed with this, has evidence strapped to his left leg. Did you hear
that? Yeah, he's just like, left leg.
These files show that Granger was briefed about Jabhat al-Haria in October and then the messages to Sabi started in November. And then in the days leading up to Dundare, Granger sent Anthony Chapman to Dubai. But the messages show that Sabi knew about that trip before Anthony did.
Ah.
That's how he's caught out. So yeah. Ramsay kind of gives that to Silva as the concrete evidence that was like, only you.
Okay.
Only you.
Gotcha.
Granger then, randomly now, he just sits down. He just admits defeat really there. And he's like, I didn't want anyone to die. But the bigger picture is that hundreds of thousands of lives, the bigger picture is hundreds of thousands of lives. And that's the nature of defense. You make sacrifices. Your eyes are on the fundamentals. Silva brings up Eliza protecting him. And he's like, oh, she has guts.
Oh.
Yeah.
Weird.
I'm just like, I know, you just manipulated her.
Yeah.
Granger also tells Silva that if she insists on taking this forward, she'll do irreparable harm. They need allies and friends and they need to show them respect. If they ban exports or weapons to Wujian, there won't be peace. And the Wujianis will then go to China or Russia and get what they need from them. And then basically they're like, we would have alienated one of the world's most popular oil producers. He's just trying to
justify what he did. Can everyone just stop killing everyone?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Absolutely horrendous. Silva shouts that he murdered his own people. Granger says he sees the world as it is. He sees what is coming for us and someone has to make decisions because politicians won't or can't. He says he's done his job and he's done it well. So have I, Silva replies. At the end of the episode, Silva tells Ian that she's thankful that she had Ramsay's help and that she's going to recommend that Sabi and Faraz are both released without charge. We then find out that the trials for Russell and Granger are going to be in closed courts for national security. And Silva is like, listen, Sam Kader got 30 years, so we need to try and talk to the Wujianis to reduce his sentence. We then see Callum visiting Sam in prison in Wujian and Sam tells him that 2 years is a long time to wait, but Callum says 2 years is nothing. Mm-hmm. So we know that Sam in there for 2 years. We then see Longacre and Silva in the hospital chatting about how it's going to be a closed court. Longacre says the families of those in Dundare who died deserve to know the truth. Silva says the truth will come out eventually, but it's not going to be when they're alive. And she points to Longacre's baby bump and says he'll have to read through it when he's an old man. Silva says the most important thing is that they made their choices for the right reasons. And then Longacre is like, isn't that what Granger will tell himself? And Silva's like, yeah, but we did everything we could. Poppy then comes in and hugs Kirsten and they look at a picture of the baby scan.
Yeah.
And the three of them leave the hospital. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. It then cuts to 6 months later at the very end of the episode. Marcus Granger and Eliza Russell, they're at their trial in the closed court. And we hear a victim impact statement from Faraz Zaman. And here's what he says. He says, with Sabia Chapman, you robbed a girl from her father and the people you killed at Dundare, their families aren't here and they should be. He says, my friends, Jabhat al-Haria, they wanted the freedoms that you enjoy in Britain. For that, you made them something that they never were. Zealots and murderers. Those were your crimes, not theirs. You will want to say, this man is a bad apple. This woman went rogue. But I put it to you. this man is your hero, your country's hero. Your relationship with the regime in Wadian is better than ever. Your soldiers might not be taking part in their war, but this year you will sell them arms worth £800 million. The money will help fund your schools and hospitals. The hospitals in Wadian's border will keep on filling up with school children.
It's so great.
Eliza Russell, it is.
Yeah.
Eliza Russell is then sentenced to life in prison with the minimum term of 30 years. And Marcus Granger is then sentenced to life in prison with a minimum term of 45 years, meaning that he'll never be eligible for parole.
Now, right? They deserve those terms, but like the length, like they sometimes do. Those lengths make me sick because I'm like, Jesus, he's never getting out. And like, she'd be lucky to get out and she's going to be an old woman. It's just mad, isn't it? Like, you throw your life away for something so fucking stupid.
Vigil season 2 ends with Silva ringing Longacre to tell her it's done and that she's coming home as she walks across a bridge.
Well done on the recap. Why did we not get to see their happily ever after with the baby? It was 6 months later. Show us the child.
I know, guys. Maybe they just were like, right, we can't fit this all in. There was a lot to explain in the last episode. Like, they had to tie up.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen one last scene.
The entire series is like, oh, careful, mind the baby. Yeah. And then we didn't get to see the baby. No. It was a bit frustrating.
I completely agree.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen that. Yeah. It was a brilliant season. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Deserved one episode a week.
Yeah, it was excellent. And that was an excellent recap. Hannah's going to have your thoughts and theories after these.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, thoughts and theories. So thank you to everyone who sent in a thought, a theory, a musing, a voice note over this season. We've loved hearing your gorgeous voices. So Jack Lester emailed in to say that he loved the series and the first half of the finale, The Shade, but the second half just felt a bit flat and it was predictable and it wasn't very exciting. Tell us how you really feel, Jack. So he said it's a great series overall and better than season one for sure. As you and others have said many times, they deserved a weekly Sunday slot. And that
we just said it again.
Thanks for covering this. All the best. So yeah, I think we agree with Jack. It did deserve a weekly Sunday slot. It also deserves probably a January slot.
Yes, I would say like Christmas week and three a week. They just rushed it out. People are busy. People are out having Christmas coffees.
And you needed to concentrate in that series, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And we did a podcast about it and I still thought
did
that two met. You know, I still.
I know. Yeah, I think
you're switched off. It's not the time. I would have swapped that now with the traders. You don't have the head Christmas week to be doing your own job, let alone trying to follow what's going on in Wujan. It was a lot, but look,
it did go. The finale did remind me a lot, though, of Line of Duty season 6 in a way that it was kind of a political statement the end to a degree, or a message of what can and does go on.
100%, and. Tom Edge.
An important one all the same, you know?
No.
Very important.
Absolutely, very important and timely. And Tom Edge, the writer and creator of the show, obviously has political views and it's an amazing platform to get them out. So, you know, it is important, but just very heavy. Elaine Vaughn emailed to say, my thoughts of Vigil overall was it was solid, good, but not stunning. I kind of love that. Like, it was good, but it just wasn't stunning. The opening episode was definitely the high point, and it never quite reached those heights again. And the use at the end of every episode of a cliffhanger diminished the impact, and it became routine. I do kind of agree there.
Yeah.
There's quite a few.
There was a many. Possibly the best moment of the whole show was when Longacre showed Silver the share price of the weapons company. That I believed more than the reasons that Granger and Russell gave. Totally fair enough. I think we agree there. Guys, the voice notes, we've all adored them, and we've four to wrap this episode up. First, we're going to listen to Millie all the way from down under in Australia.
It's more of a question, is what happened to McCabe? Like, he shot a 7-month pregnant woman, and yet I feel nothing was said. Maybe I wasn't watching, I didn't register it properly. He shot the main character.
Yeah, very good point. Yeah, guys, I don't know. They kind of, in one bit, at the very end, when Silva's talking to Sir Ian, he does say, oh, Derek, he does say some line about Derek, but it wasn't... He basically is like, oh, it's going to be a closed court. You don't need to be worrying about Derek about something. I don't know, very good point. He literally killed, he shot the main character and he killed Ross.
And the main character who's pregnant. And Silva got an F-bomb in this episode, which I think they give out very sporadically on the BBC. Loved it. I thought it was a great delivery, but I would have loved to have seen her use that against the man who shot her pregnant partner. Next up is Emma, who we also know as Shape Your Wardrobe.
The last three episodes, wow, lots of twists. Still stand by the fact it's 100 million times better than season one. In fact, I wasn't even going to watch this season, only did it because I wanted to listen to you guys.
Oh.
Happy that I predicted that Du Grey was dodgy and turned out to be right. Was screaming at the television when Kirsten was literally in the middle of nowhere on her bloody own. And why did she leave her phone?
Girl, same.
That whole thing I don't get. Oh, and can you tell me, I don't know, I missed this. How did they find her? How did the police and the ambulance find her? I thought she was a goner for sure. I did love the way it concluded and the fact that, yes, they did get their comeuppances. But why the hell didn't we get a picture of Kirsten and the baby?
Yeah.
So true.
Couldn't agree
so
more.
True.
The whole series is
about
the
baby. But guys, how did they find?
So when she dropped her phone at the rocks, they just tracked her Find My iPhone or something. No,
okay,
I don't know.
Fair enough, yeah.
And the route they were driving towards the rocks, they would just naturally come across her slumped over the
wheel. They also were on the lookout for Ross Sutherland, who had escaped from hospital. So there's two.
Maybe they were tracking him.
They could have been trying to find him and follow him too. Yeah. Or Derek or whatever.
Yeah, but we were definitely left to do our own detective work on that one. We did miss Anthony. Emma, you did miss Anthony. Okay, we've another Emma now back to back, and she loved how bonkers the ending was.
It's like, it's almost cartoonish. You know, when they escaped from the compound and they were running through the streets of the town, I said to my husband as I was watching it, if this was a cartoon, they'd grab some, headscarves and disguise themselves as local women. And then they ran through a clothes shop, did that, and there was this comedy sequence where there was a girl getting changed and the two lads ran in after them, and the lady who was measuring the girl, who was kind of in a state of undress, she shouted at them, was like, get out of here. It was cartoonish. And then in last night's episode, when your man woke up from his coma, he didn't wake up from a coma, he was in the hospital, and he escaped from the handcuffs with the pen or whatever, and he's like, threw an old man on a walking frame out of his way. It was so funny. Anyway, I feel like one of the things I love about Vigil is the slightly mad side to it, on top of all the serious, brilliant stuff.
So true. And sorry, that scene with them trying to find the headscarves was giving Sex and the City too.
It was.
I'm screaming. It actually was. And also, I'm sorry, that man on the walker, he pushed him into next week. He wasn't long for this world. That was shocking. Okay, the final voice note of this season is from, we've already heard from him, but friends of the podcast, Martin is back to say some more.
Hello, people. This is Martin, the guy who brought you Shrine Dates and Brendan's new role as Scylla.
Aww.
Just a couple of points now this series is over. First, just because you see people in camo doesn't mean they're army. The series is about the strangely named British Air Force, not the Royal Air Force, but their camo is just the same as the army. Did you think it'd be blue or something? Also, earlier in the series, there were images of the huge car-sized drones in use at the airbase. These really can see people's faces if they look up. And also
terrifying.
Carry lots of stuff that goes bang.
No.
So the Air Force, the British Air Force, would have been snooping on the compound with a big drone at high altitude.
Terrible.
Finally, the mysterious parked car that Hannah's worried
about. Go on.
Brendan, I think a hitman might just have set fire to it rather than carefully leaving it in a car park for someone to find and plant.
Christ.
I don't know, Mark. Dublin's a small city. Yeah, if you're setting fire to things, you're going to draw attention. Maybe just get it clamped instead.
Although, we need to find out.
People do love to set things on fire in the city. We've unfortunately seen that recently. So I'm a bit disappointed about that now because I thought we'd crack the case, but I will be back with more in January on the burnt out car. No, not the burnt out car. The clamped car.
No, the car.
The car. The car.
Car. And maybe we'll have found the Christmas tree that's missing in work as well.
What did you do if it was in the boot of that car, guys? And it was all tied up together. I'd scream.
Inception.
Plot twist. Yeah. That is it. Thank you for playing along with season two of Vigil. We've loved your voice notes and we are going to be looking for even more of them first thing in the new year. We are going to be back on the 4th of January, the night after, the day after the first episode of The Traitors
airs. I'm so excited, guys.
On BBC One. So it's going to take a very similar sort of format. So it's going to be, I think, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, potentially. Well, sorry, if I just find
Wednesday,
me dates.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, hon.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, The Traitors is airing the first three episodes. So we will do the exact same we've done for Vigil. You'll have reaction episodes on Thursday, Friday, and on Saturday.
We want to watch it live every night on BBC and
wait.
Have a chat the morning after. And we'd love you to join along with us as we dissect The Traitors.
Guys, Shrine Does Reality. Like, we've never done it before. I'm buzzing.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, Shrine Does. Yeah, we want to change Shrine Podcasts Presents to Shrine Does The Traitors. Shrine Does Vigil. Yeah,
we
can do that.
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll see.
Have a fantastic Christmas break. Eat all the cheese boards. Yeah. Drink all of the wine. Have all of the family drama. And then let us know what happened in a WhatsApp voice note in January, please.
Oh, thank you so much for listening and Merry Christmas.
Have a great Christmas. Two of us at least now are off to have a Bailey's. And Hannah, we'll de-alcoholise your one maybe.
Yeah, actually, they need to make non-alcoholic Bailey's because I feel like it is just cream with flavouring. So it's a very doable one.
True.
I have a Frizzante downstairs, which is a non-alcoholic Prosecco, but I'm in the market for a Bailey. So if anyone can let me know that by Christmas, I'd be delighted. And we love you all and happy Christmas and thank you. And honestly, guys, we're back in like 10 days.
10 days, yeah. Feliz Navidad.
This is TV worth talking about. This is Shrine Podcasts Vigil.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.